Welcome to Mobile Estate Planning with your host, Michael Bailey. Over a decade ago, attorney Michael Bailey turned his attention to estate law after he recognized the unacceptable number of adults without proper end-of-life planning. Michael recognizes that many of his clients have difficulty finding the time for making a proper estate plan. That's why he became the Mobile Estate Planner. He will go to wherever you are to assist you with your estate planning, including writing wills, trusts, and giving you the information you need to avoid probate. Now, ATX, Ask the Experts, presents Mobile Estate Planning with your host, Michael Bailey.
All right, good afternoon. Welcome to Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey here on 560 KLZ, The Source, also heard on 100.7 FM, 95.3 FM, 1220 AM, 560thesource.com, the TuneIn app, or, you know, I've got a little bird that's flying around outside the window. I think he's hoping I yell really loud so that he can, you know, because we're up here on the 12th floor. I hope that, this bird is trying to listen to my radio show. It may just be flying by, and I base that on the fact that it's already flown by the window and it doesn't like it's gone. So, but it is possible the bird came to listen to my show. You know, it's kind of exciting. I had somebody call me or send me an email today, asking if they needed to wait till their financial plan was done before they met with me about estate planning. I said, no, we could probably do those both at the same time, and then we'd have a good idea of what we need to do, and then you could even avoid the problem of if you were to set up an estate plan. Or sorry, if you were to set up with if you were set up a financial plan and then we did an estate plan, you might have to go through the process to retitle everything. So it might actually be useful and helpful to have your estate plan in place before you do everything. So, you know, it's kind of, you know, a two-edged sword. You can do it either way, but, you know, I'd say, hey, you know what, we can probably do them both together at the same time and coordinate and everything would be good. Phone number to talk to us on the air is 303-477-5600, and my direct line is 720-394-6887. And that's my direct number if you want to talk to me about your own personal stuff, or, you know, you just don't really want to talk to me on the air, that's cool too. You know, or if you try to call me at 3:04 p.m., which isn't going to work because I'm done by 3 and Rush Reason is on. Now, somewhere in here, I think I'm supposed to say my mobile estate planning so we can leave you anything but just alone, but, you know, it's been like 3 minutes since the intro, so now I'm too late. It's terrible. So, estate planning. What should we talk about estate planning today? It is an interesting question. I've had lots of clients who have been talking to me lately about just, it's almost like they like to ask me a question and then they want to show how much they know by jumping in and telling me what the answer should be. And I'm perfectly okay with that as long as they get it right. But sometimes people will ask me a question and I'll start to answer it. And then they want to show how much they know. So they jump in and tell me, well, because this isn't this. And I'm like, no, that's not exactly correct. And then I get the inevitable, well, why would somebody have asked me something if it wasn't, or told me something if it wasn't true? I'm like, I have no idea what the motivations of people are. I have no idea what the motivations of the person who said it to you is. You know, I think we talked last week about if it was on the internet, it had to be true, or if we were on TV, it had to be true. Is that correct, Dave?
Yeah, remember things were triply true because it was on TV and the internet.
And radio, right?
And we had said it. I heard it.
So we got triple true. Can we go to a quadruple true? I don't know.
We were getting to levels of truth that
I know. It's,
yeah, that rivaled Socrates, remember?
I know. Soon we will have, but we haven't yet hit absolute truth. Which some people don't seem to believe exists.
It happens.
There's different...
Hey, I actually do have a question I thought maybe could answer for
By
me.
By all means.
I'll let you answer it. I don't know the answer.
No, you can jump in. You've listened to me long enough. You may actually know the answer.
I don't, because I just know that recently... there was a huge tax reform, and I was wondering if the tax reform in any way affects or wills or trusts or how any of that stuff would work, and if that means how would that affect if I don't have a will, but also if I did have a will, is there a way that I need to adjust that?
So it depends, is the correct answer. Is that
That's always the answer.
Is that a satisfying estate answer?
Planning. It's always the answer with estate planning. Well, it depends.
It depends on what, of course, is the difference between a good attorney and a bad attorney. I was playing the possum attorney of like, hi, I bet I could goad him into saying, okay, so one of the things that came out with the new tax rules is that the estate tax limit was doubled. So it was scheduled to go to $5.6 million per person this year. Instead, it's now $11.2 million per person.
So that means you don't have to pay estate tax unless you have made $11.2 million? Or unless you're willing
to have $11.2 million to give away. So you have to have made it, but, you know, I mean, over your lifetime. So if you've got $11.2 million by
the time you
die. I mean,
in your estate, you have $11.2 in your estate.
Uh-huh.
That's when you're going to get taxed. Anything below that, you don't have an estate tax?
Well, that's right.
Sort of.
No, that's correct. Because you know, it's the estate tax. Now, there still may be income tax implications of everything, but the estate tax itself is now set at $11.2 million per person, or about $22.4 million per couple. And by about, I mean exactly. And then we still have portability. So if you've got $20 million and one of you dies, well, you can move that over from their estate to yours, and you can take their portion of the estate tax, you know, exemption, and, you know, so you can have like up to $22.4 million, which means that most people out there aren't going to have to worry about or pay estate tax.
That's what I was going to say. Most people won't. I mean, doesn't really affect most people.
There weren't a ton of people who were going to pay estate tax even at the $5.6 million limit, but, you know, there were some. And I mean, dealing with estate tax and taxable estates, you know, that's not a game that I play a lot. You know, I've had one or two clients in that realm, and I've been able to do some things where I can, you know, pull their life insurance and put it into an irrevocable life insurance trust to kind of get it down. Other people, you know, that I've done that for, it's so that we can, you know, protect assets more from a Medicaid or a VA or a Social Security type of situation. But yeah, and I did have one that came to me, and we were going through their assets, and I'm like, cool. And then the woman was like, oh yeah, and then there's the business that I own. I'm like, really? Okay, cool. What's your business? She's like, oh, it's just an accounting business. I'm like, all right, sweet. How much would you estimate that's worth? She says, oh, about $55 million. And I stopped, and I'm like, all righty, we're going to have a very different conversation now than what I thought we were going to have. And I called my friend who does taxable estate work all the time and said, so what would you recommend we do? And he kind of gave me some ideas. I'm like, so what I'm hearing is you recommend that I bring you over and you work on it and you handle it because you do this all the time and I don't. He said, well, that's one interpretation. I said, it's a pretty good interpretation because I, you know, at a $55 million level, I didn't want to make a mistake on an estate tax and you know, have them have a taxable estate. And suddenly they think they're passing $50, $60 million on to their kids. And then we have a 50% estate tax. And now they're paying $30 million to their kids. Now, if your kids and you're inheriting $30 million as opposed to $60 million, really.
I mean, it's still pretty good, but that's a lot of money.
But that is a lot of money. You know, if you're if my mistake is going to cost $30 million, guess who they're going to come looking for? That's right, me. They're going to say, so you screwed this up. It's a $30 million mistake. We need the $30 million back from you because you screwed it up.
I mean, that $60 million is like at least twice as good, right?
Right, at least. You know, I guess it depends on the math and the new math and what base you're using and so on and so forth. But you take and you go, okay, I carry professional liability insurance. I have for the last 11 years. I've never used it, which is kind of nice that, you know, I've got a, yeah, never made a mistake bad enough that somebody needed to come and, sue me for having made a mistake. You know, I mean, clearly I've made a mistake here and there. You know, you spell a name wrong. That's why I send things out for review and things like that. Or I suppose everybody does it where you look at something that I wrote my first year practicing law and I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't do that now. I mean, we used to have the mantra in law school of, so why are we here in law school? To graduate, so we can do what? So we can take the bar. So we can do what? So we can get points. So we can do what? Pass the bar. So we can do what? Commit malpractice for 5 years. Yeah, that was the end of it. We're like, yeah, okay, because, you know, when you first start doing something, you're kind of like, yeah. I mean, okay, so I guess when I was 16, I thought I was a pretty awesome driver. Yeah, I thought I could, yeah, everything would be perfect, everything would be good. And, you know, the 75 on the speed limit on the freeway, it was kind of a suggestion, you know. Really, I could go 85 or 90, I'd be fine. You know, red lights, I used to joke that stop signs bordered in white were optional. And people are like, really? I'm like, yeah, look. And they're like, but every stop sign is bordered in white. I'm like, uh-huh. Try and keep up. You know, just a little bit of silliness there. But, you know, somewhere along the way between age 16 and now this year, I turned 40 in April. So, you know, my family's apparently going to have a big party to declare me officially old and over the hill. And I'm like, yeah, well, been there for a while, but okay. you know, you learn things. You learn, you grow, you increase your abilities. You know, so now I've been doing estate planning for 11 years. I think I know what I'm doing. You know, if I don't know what I'm doing, I'm probably going to refer you to somebody who does, because I just basically want what's going to work well for you and what's going to be right for you. But you are listening to Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey here on 560 KLZ, The Source, also on 100.7 FM, 95.3 FM, 1220 AM, 560thesource.com, and the TuneIn app. Phone number to talk to us on the air is 303-477-5600. And my direct line is 720-394-6887. Now, so on the topic of estate tax, I mean, there's not a ton of estate tax that's going on, because, I mean, and those who, you know, since it's a fairly specialized thing, we'd want to have, we've got definitely a, you've got all these estate tax, you know, people get worried about estate tax. They get very concerned about, I don't want to pay estate tax, and, you know, I want to reduce my taxes. You know, who wants to pay taxes, I guess. You know, I'm like, hey, you know what? I owe $20,000 in tax. Maybe if I send them a check for $40,000, they'll feel better. Yes, awesome. Or, you know, even, you know, smaller. You're like, okay, you know, you go to a store, and they're like, okay, well, you know, it's a $10 item, and you pay $2 in tax, and you're like, oh, I bet if I pay $4 in tax, it would be much, much better. You know, everybody loves tax, right, Dave?
Everyone. Yeah.
Everyone, yeah. Okay, so
especially libertarians.
Everybody loves tax. Absolutely everybody.
But are there other taxes?
Definitely.
That affect your
yes.
estate plan?
They are.
Aren't so...
That's correct.
That aren't so...
Yes.
Obviously named.
Correct.
Yes, there are.
Yes. So now I've answered your question about 10 times in the affirmative, correct?
Sorry.
See, I was trying to be like my clients who just jump in. Like, yes. Okay, because estate tax is really what we're not that concerned about estate tax. If you are concerned about estate tax, we'll get you to the right person so that we can deal with estate tax and minimize it. But, you know, estate tax it's less of a concern for most people. So then we jump into the area of transfer taxes. And transfer taxes are things like gifts or inheritance taxes. You know, sometimes they're called estate tax, sometimes a death tax. There's such thing as a generation skipping transfer tax. Isn't that an exciting tax? Have you ever heard of that one before?
No, it sounds cool.
Yes, it's a GSST tax, for generation skipping transfer tax. I don't know why there's another S in there. But it's a GSST tax. So maybe it's just GST. Maybe I had an extra S because I really like S's. I have no idea.
GSTT.
I don't know. It's like trying to spell HIPAA. H-I-P-P-A, H-I-P-A-A. I mess it up all the time. And it's AA, by the way. H-I-P-A-A, health and for whatever. I'm not even going to try. I'm going to screw myself up, you know. Now we need to send out an SOS for save our ship, right? We're sinking. Okay, we're not actually sinking. We're still doing fine. The bird is not back, for anybody who cares. The bird apparently was not interested in actually listening to my show. Did you see the bird fly by over there on your
way? I did. I think he's already got a will, so.
Yeah, I don't think a bird needs a will. There's a lot less concern about not having any assets in the bird world than there is in the human world. Yeah, less legal developed.
Now, I was reading that if you have less than $64,000 in your total estate, then you don't even have to go to probate court. Is that, that's not very much money, but is that true?
Okay, so it's $67,000 this year. It was $64,000 last year.
That's still not very much money.
Yeah, right. So if you have less than $67,000 worth of assets in your that are probatable assets, then the Colorado courts have created a simplified process to do probate if there's that little money and no real property. You know, if there's real property like real estate, ground and everything attached to it, then you still have to go to probate, even if it's just like a, you know, plot of land that's worth $5,000 up in the mountains somewhere. It's like, well, you still have to go to probate. Sorry, that's the way it is, unless you do something to avoid it, which is possible. But if you have less than $67,000 of probate assets and no real property, you can do probate by affidavit, which is a two-page affidavit where you fill it out and you say, okay, this person died. Here's who's supposed to get their stuff. You get it signed, notarized, then you can take it and transfer those assets to the people it's supposed to go to. It's a very simplified procedure. Basically, the courts have said, you know what, if you don't have that much money and you can do it yourself and you do it right, we don't want to be bothered, so do it this way. So it's a court-approved procedure. Several years ago, they actually strengthened that to say, hey, you know what? Because people were like, oh, I don't know if I really agree with this. I don't think it really counts, so you need to go to probate. And you're like, no, it's the proper procedure. Nah, we don't really want to honor it. So they put some teeth in the statute that said, if you don't honor it, you're going to be held accountable, so you might want to think about honoring things that need to be honored. Oh, right, got it. Fair. I guess that's good. But, you know, getting back to the topic of taxes, so transfer taxes. The $11.2 million, I think the gift tax limit, I don't believe it went all the way to the 11.2. I think it only went to 10 million. But that means, so it's you can give money away while you're alive, or you can give it away after you die. You know, one's a lifetime gift, one's a testamentary gift. Testamentary, of course, meaning through your will and after you die. Generation skipping transfer tax is if you, it's just what it sounds like. If, my grandparents wanted to give money to me, so they skipped over my parents and gave it to me. That's skipping a generation. So you can give $10 million there before you need to start paying tax on it. So again, we're talking about very large numbers that probably don't apply to a lot of people. So then we get back to good old income tax. And income tax is one of those things that, you know, there are those out there who will tell you that income tax is illegal and that it's never been authorized. The IRS refers to them as tax protesters. I maintain that you may very well want to argue that you don't have to pay income tax, and I'm very happy to listen to that argument. But when the IRS comes and takes money out of your bank account or seizes your property or throws you in jail for not having done it, that's fairly persuasive that maybe, just maybe, there's an enforcement mechanism that you might have to pay tax. I'm not going to be the authoritative. I'm not going to be the authoritative voice on that, and you know, I don't really think I have the power to stand against the IRS and say, "No, IRS, I defy you. I'm going to do things my way."
That's how they got Al Capone.
This is true on tax evasion, right? To quote the movie The Firm, which was a great documentary, it's mail fraud. It's got teeth. It's how you got Capone. I'm like, whatever you need to do. You know, and then you get the John Stossel, illegal everything, that no matter how careful you are during your day, you'll probably do something illegal because there are so many laws that nobody can quite know all of them. So, which one is it? I don't know. Whichever. Running afoul of the IRS, usually not what I want to try to do. Just doesn't seem like a great thing, but that's just me. So we look at things and we say, all right, well, we've got this, that, and whatever. And so now we have to deal with income tax. And why would we have to deal with income tax? Because people say, well, if I die, then, if there's an estate tax, it'll just cover everything and everything will be, subject to the estate tax and there won't be any more tax. And I say, well, almost. That's not quite how it works. So you are listening to Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey here on 1690 KDMT. No. We are on 560 KLZ. Also 100.7 FM, 95.3 FM, 1220 AM, 560thesource.com and the TuneIn app. And apparently outside the window if you're a bird. There's too many stations, I tell you. Let's hear. Which station would I like to be on? I don't know. 850 has the Broncos, right? Is that correct? Is that where the Broncos are broadcast? I don't even know.
I don't know.
You don't know? I do listen to the Broncos on the radio sometimes. So, I'm like, I got nothing. Anyhow, So income tax. You know, we have to look at the type of asset with income tax. Now, many types of assets, including real property, you get stepped up basis, which means if you die and you transfer that asset to somebody who is a an heir. So let's say that you paid $20,000 for a house 30 years ago, and now you die and you pass the house on to your kids, and it's worth like $200,000. Well, with a capital asset like a house, you pay tax on the difference between what you sell it for and what you bought it for. So what you bought it for is called cost basis because it can be adjusted, you know, if you do additions and things like that. So if we go, okay, we've got $200,000 and $20,000. So if you were to sell the house, there's a $180,000 difference there, right? Yeah. So if you sell your own primary residence, you can exclude up to $250,000 per person. So if you have a house that you bought for $20 and you sell it for $200,000, $180,000, you can exclude all of that from income. Awesome. Good for you. If you die and you pass that house on to another person, then that house, the person who receives the house as an inheritance, inherits it with a $200,000 cost basis, the fair market value when you die. So if you inherit a house for $200,000, worth $200,000, and you go sell it for $200,000, keep up with me on my math here, 200 minus 200 is zero. Did my math make sense there, Dave?
Yep, you're right on.
Sweet.
I got my calculator.
What's that?
I got my calculator
out. All right, sweet. See, I use Excel because then I can check my inputs because usually it's an input problem if I do something wrong. So that's a really nice part about if you pass something along at death. And part of what's, you know, for some of the programs that are based on need and assets is they're hoping that you hold on to those assets. So, you know, if you're on Medicaid and Medicaid's paying for your life and paying for your care, and then you die and then you go to sell a house, Medicaid says, okay, during your life we weren't going to kick you out of the house, but now we would like to collect what we, you know, if we spent $350,000 on your care, you've got a house worth $200,000. Now that you've died, we think we need to collect all of that, you know, the value of the house so that we can get paid back as much as we can. Okay. You know, there's ways to plan around that, you know, pre-planning and things like that, but you got to look at it. But, and, you know, and like other assets like stocks, they get stepped up basis. You know, cash, it's hard to get a step, you know, cash, it's hard to be like, okay, well, you know, you got the cash for $5. Now you're passing it on for $5. Why? Well, there's not a basis to step up. It's the same. It's cash. There it is. You know, you can, if you're accruing interest, and the interest can be included as part of the basis, stuff like that. But then there are assets that don't necessarily have a stepped up basis and that don't have that favorable tax treatment if they're passed on by an inheritance. And these are fairly common assets. These are things like a 401k, an IRA, an annuity. They don't get stepped up. So if you have an IRA that's worth $150,000 when you die, you know, you've lived off it for a bunch of years, and okay, now I've got $150,000 in the IRA, now I die. I'm going to pass this along to my kids. Well, the kids have some options. They can take the money and roll it into an inherited IRA, which is, you know, that they inherited the IRA, and so it continues in an IRA, and it's just it's an IRA in the name of the inheritor, the heir, instead of the person who died. Okay. And since that's a rollover, it's not going to get taxed as that rollover from the deceased person's IRA to an inherited IRA. But let's say that the person wants to take a distribution from the IRA. So they say, okay, you know, $150,000, it's supposed to go to three kids, you get split equally. $50,000, first child says, you know, I'm going to put that in an IRA, I'm going to have that $50,000 that'll grow over time. Okay, cool. Second child says, well, you know, I've got a hot stock tip, so I'm going to take that money, I'm going to take that $50,000, I'm going to pull it out, and I'm going to put it into the stocks, and it's going to, you know, go, you know, 20,000%, and I'm going to be a multi-trillionaire in the next 3 weeks. Okay, good luck with that. But you know, so they pull their $50,000 out, and then they wonder why they didn't get a check for $50,000. But I got it as an inheritance. It should be stepped up. No, it's not. Money from the IRA is going to get taxed as it gets pulled out. So maybe there's a 10% tax, maybe there's a 15%, maybe there's a 20% tax. It depends on what tax bracket you're in and how much money you make. And then the third person says, well, you know, I'll roll it into inherited IRA, but I'm still in college, so I'm going to pull out an educational loan against the IRA money, and I'm going to use it, and I'm going to pay it back. So, I mean, you know, educational expenses, I believe, are one of the exceptions for where you don't get tax pulling money out of an IRA under certain conditions. So there's different options, but a lot of time, you know, a lot of my clients who are trying to set up, you know, they're like, okay, we're going to set up a trust, and we're going to just consolidate everything in the trust. We'll dump our IRA in the trust when we die, and then just distribute it out. And I say, okay, hold on. Did you mean to make the Internal Revenue Service a 50% beneficiary of your estate? Because by setting it up, just everything dumping into a normal trust, that's what's going to happen. Now, there's a way to set up a trust where you can have a trust that, if you dump money into a trust, it can go into a stretch IRA. And that's, you know, you need to set that up so that it's more like a roll into an inherited IRA. It's just a stretch IRA, which a trust can have, so that you don't get taxed immediately on the distribution just because you die. And this is something that people, you know, they're like, oh, wow, I didn't know about that. I'm like, cool, that's why you asked me. And then, you know, things like an annuity, you know, you put money into an annuity. Annuity is part principal, it's part interest and dividends. You know, it's so, you know, and the principal, the return of principal isn't going to be taxed, but the interest that you earned will be taxed. So, you know, there's, you've got to look at both parts there and which way does it work. And, you know, there's other assets like life insurance can be not taxed. But in part of setting up an estate plan is to consider these types of tax, consider the impact of the tax and what it's going to do and how that tax is going to impact your estate plan and what you pass on to your kids. So thanks so much for listening to Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey on 560 KLZ The Source. John Rush and Rush the Reason are up next, and I'll talk to you next week. Thanks and bye.
Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey will return to ATX next Wednesday at 2:30 here on KLZ 560 The Source, AM 560, FM 100.7, and online at 560thesource.com.
And opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.